free. Hell lost another one.
To be Jesus. Jesus, we love you. Church, let the saints shout hallelujah to Jesus this morning. Lift up your voice and shout hallelujah to Jesus this morning. We are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been transformed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been moved from the darkness into His marvelous light because of the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood is applied. In Him we derive our being. In Him we are called the children of God. We are alive because of Jesus. We are alive because of His goodness, His mercy, His grace. Jesus, we love you this morning. We thank you this morning. We worship you this morning. Let's shout to the joy unto Jesus. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever, church. Thank you, Jesus. This should be your word this morning. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your saving grace. It is not by our might, not by our power, but by the Spirit of the living God. We are so grateful, O God, for knowing you, because you have never disappointed those who trust in you, Jesus. Thank you this morning, church. We read in the book of Genesis that God tested Abraham. Church, hear this. And when God called Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac, Bible said that Abraham, out of obedience, took Isaac to sacrifice him. But God saw his heart as a father killing his son. And God, being the good father, said, Abraham, stop. I will provide the sacrificial lamb for you to kill for me, not your son. Because I'm a good father. I love my children. So you love your son. But when it came to the turn of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in the book of Luke, Bible said that Jesus cried out, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. God said, no, for the sake of the people, you must die. For the sake of you and I, Jesus had to go through the cross so that his blood will save you and I from the sin that we have committed. We are grateful, Jesus, for what you have done for us. Thank you, God, this morning. You are so good. You are so wonderful. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are also going to pray for our military this morning. Be in the spirit of prayer, church. We are going to pray for God to be with our military. We are going to pray that God will also continue to help us, the citizens, to always appreciate what they are doing for our country. At a time like this, they are always on watch, alert, ready to defend our country from our enemies. So we must continue to pray for our military members. There's a lot going on in their life, in their family. The challenging time is pushing them. Some of them are the epitome of their stress and they're about to give up. But Bible said the prayer of a righteous man avail much. If you and I will agree and pray for them, God will reach out and help them. We are praying Joshua chapter 1 verse 9 to them. God said, have I not commanded you, Joshua, that you must be strong and of a good courage? Do not be afraid or dismayed, for I, the Lord God, is with you wherever you go. Father, this morning we pray that you bless our military members in the name of Jesus. Wherever they are, oh God, help them in the name of Jesus. In their time of discouragement, in the time of perplexity, in the time of difficulty, Father Lord, help them in the name of Jesus. Father Lord, help them, oh God, that you are with them in the name of Jesus. Give them the spirit of courage. Father Lord, give them the spirit of power, not to be afraid, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father Lord. May you, oh God, bless them with your presence 24/7 in the name of Jesus. Whatever they found themselves, my Lord, whether being somewhere in the bush or somewhere in the ocean or somewhere, my God, in the air, Father, let your presence, oh God, be with them in the name of Jesus Christ, Father Lord. I pray for their family members, oh God, who are sometimes left behind, Jesus, that you keep on comforting them and provide to them whatever they may need, oh God, to hold on, my Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father. I pray for our leaders, oh God, that you also give them the wisdom, the knowledge, understanding, my God, to be able to lead our sailors, our armed forces, my Lord, to be able to defend our country, Father. We pray for your divine provision, divine encounter. And Lord, draw them closer to you. Let them see your light in the name of Jesus Christ, Father Lord. Draw them to you, my God. Those who doesn't know you, Father, draw them to you, Father Lord. Let your saving grace reach out to them wherever they are in the mighty Jesus' name, my Lord. Heal their body. Heal their spirit. Heal their soul, Father Lord, from the trauma of the enemy. So that at the end of the day, when all things are said and done, we shall come together again and give you glory. Thank you this morning for helping our service members, for helping their family, and also, my God, helping us, oh God, to appreciate what they are doing for us. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Shout amen. Hallelujah.
Well, good morning, everybody. You guys can go ahead and be seated. I'm Pastor Chris, and we just want to welcome you guys to church this morning. If this is your first time here, we want to honor you, and we do that around here by just clapping for you. So, welcome this morning. But of course, we don't want to just clap for you. Right? We're a family. We want to truly connect with you, and the easiest way for us to do that is for you to text the word welcome to the number that comes up on the screen. A small link will come back to you. It only takes about 20 seconds or so to fill it out, and then once you do, just like that, shabam, we are connected. We're also available on Facebook, on Instagram. We even have a TikTok page, or if you want to email us, it's office@seaportcommunitychurch.org. And if you have not met Pastor Brad, make sure you guys join us out in the narthex in the cafe area afterwards for a free coffee and some discussion. But we have some awesome opportunities, and the easiest way to get those opportunities is for you to download the Church Center app, and you can get that by just hitting that QR code that's on the back of the seat back in front of you, and then you can download the app there and see all these awesome opportunities. But if you haven't figured this out, we are a praying church. Prayer changes everything, and there's all kinds of opportunities for you to pray with us, whether it's online, in person, in the morning, at night, so make sure you guys plug into one of these awesome prayer meetings. I know the blessing on the bike was supposed to be today, but unfortunately the weather did not cooperate, so it has been rescheduled to June 30th due to the weather, so make sure you guys are staying tuned for more details on that, and make sure, of course, you're inviting lots of people to that, because it's going to be an awesome opportunity. And then, of course, we have our Motorcycle Mondays. I can't even speak this morning. We have our Motorcycle Mondays. That's kicking off again tomorrow, so make sure you guys are joining us for that, because this is an awesome opportunity to ride and to share the gospel with others. On Wednesdays, we are continuing our growth track series, so make sure you guys join us for that. Impact Ladies Tea is on May 18th. And then there's a ladies' Bible study that's coming up. It's actually starting tomorrow. And so why don't you guys take a look up here and join us for this video.
David succeeded in ways unimaginable to most of us, but he also endured horrific heartbreak. Out of the heart of David comes this phrase, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want." What we have in this passage is a picture of the Christian life. The rest that you so desperately long for will not be found in vacation. It will not be found in a new Netflix series. True rest, rest for the soul, is found as we listen to the Good Shepherd and he leads us to green pastures and living water. I am not a stranger to loss. I am not a stranger to hurt. I'm not a stranger to having a doctor sit across from me and tell me I'll be dead in a couple of years. And so the promise we get here is not a life without pain. It's that he is with you in this valley. It doesn't take God's people long to forget about God and choose our own path, our own way. The good news of Psalm 23 is that when we surrender our life to Christ, when we say yes, and we become believers, we have been given the righteousness of Christ. We've been placed on the path of righteousness. What God's bringing is not misery. It's not begrudging submission. It's goodness, that God's big plan for your life is goodness. There are few things that fire up the heart of King David, like the idea of being in the presence of God, our Creator. We were created for that. There's goodness and mercy for the sinner, the struggler, the weary, and we're invited into the presence of God.
So ladies, make sure you join us for that. That's online on Mondays and here in person on Thursdays. And all of the study guides are available at the Welcome Center, so make sure you go out there and grab one of those. Next up, Pastor Brad.
Hey, everyone. Are you well?
Yes.
That's great to hear. Great to hear. And we enjoyed a few days off. And vacations won't get you a rest, but they are still good. And that's for sure. So 35 years ago, Seaport opened its doors at Fitch Middle School. And what we've been doing every month is my daughter Lindsay has created a series of little snapshot videos. And this month, we're going to take a few moments and look at missions and its involvement, Seaport's involvement in missions, which you can't tell a whole story in a matter of moments, that's for sure. This church has done so much over the years, but let's take a look at missions at Seaport on our 35th. And that barely touches it. Seaport has given over $1 million to missions. $1 million. And that's just going to go like this in the future. In 22, we gave 53,000 to missions. In 23, we gave 107,000. Doubled it. And the Lord told me his plan was for 200,000. So we're going to do that eventually, 200,000 to missions and then beyond. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. God blesses a missions-minded church. One of the reasons that Seaport has been blessed these years is because from day one, every Wednesday night offering has gone to missions for 35 years. That's a record I'm proud of. Even when things were desperate and difficult, we gave it away anyway. Amen?
Amen?
And so today, you know, missionaries call me left and right. We just gave $2,500. Just gave $2,500 last week, as a matter of fact, to help train 130 university and college campus missionaries that are serving in the Northeast to to help prepare them in June. They want me to come to their conference. I don't know if I'll get there or not. But the conference is going to train Northeast missionaries on how to reach some of the most strategic campuses in the world. We just invested $2,500 in helping pull that conference off for these young men and women that are on campuses. Isn't that a great thing? That just this past week happened. So to God be the glory. Amen? So let's just continue to give. My challenge has always been this to you. Not always, but several years ago, we started a challenge to give 1%. I don't give 1%. I give more than that, but that doesn't matter. It's just my challenge to you is to honor the Lord with the first 10% and then to give additional 1% to missions. That's a pretty crazy challenge, isn't it? But God blesses those who give, doesn't he? Yes, he does. And so, hallelujah. It's just been amazing. I look at those things, and this church has had such impact all over the place. And I can't even begin to tell you the story. You know, I mean, right now, as we think about giving, yeah, we got a little bit of a challenge going on right now. We're running behind, but I believe in God that we're not going to just catch up. We're going to exceed it. Can you believe and pray that way with me? Well, that was very enthusiastic. Can you agree and pray with me that we don't just catch up, but that we exceed it?
Amen.
Amen. Then before we do anything, let's just pray that way right now. You heard me say, God's not cheap. He's not broke. You know what? It's never the end of the month. Right? He's not bothered by inflation. You are. I am. He's not. Let's trust God together. You know what? This will be closed when we tithe, when we give, and when God blesses us, which I'm praying for you. I'll tell you something crazy in just a moment, but not yet. Lord, thank you. Thank you so much. I know, Lord, you're going to close this gap. I know you are. Help us to be faithful to tithe. Help us to be faithful to give to missions. And Lord, you said that as we did, then you would bless us, that you would increase our abilities. And we say thank you for that. God, we're going to see your glory in this. And I just say, thank you, Lord. May you be praised in every way. Thanks, Lord, for the generosity and the faithfulness of your people. And God, may the promise that you made to us may be seen even this week. Thanks, Lord. Amen. And I've had several of you, and I haven't said anything about it. I've had several of you contact me and tell me how God is blessing your life financially. And I go, yay, hallelujah, because that's how I'm praying for you. It's one of the ways I'm praying for you. So I'm on vacation, and the Lord says this to me. This is what he said to me. That's a verbatim quote, what he said to me. I'm like, I'm okay with that. So if you're not okay with that, that's fine. Just lean over to the next person and say, you can have my vacation. Oh. Now, some of you, I understand this. Some of you, vacation is not a problem. And God blessed us. We had a wonderful time on vacation, you know, with our kids. It was great. And we were blessed, for sure. But I know that some of you would love to go on vacation, but you can't for varieties of reasons. I want to see you go. I want to see you be blessed. Amen? I want to see you. It doesn't have to be some big, crazy thing. But some of you just... You know what? You need a break. It's okay. I know what Chandler said on the video. I got it. But at the same time, vacations are still good. Amen?
Amen.
Are you willing to pray with me about this? That everybody at Seaport's able to go on vacation and come back just a little bit more renewed, having had a great time with, you know, their family? If you're in favor of that, stand and let's pray. If you're not in favor of that, sit down. No, I mean, I was just walking along doing something. I don't know what I was doing. I don't even remember. And the Lord spoke that to me very clearly. Exactly what he said. I said, okay. You ready to pray with me? Don't just listen to me pray. You pray too, okay? All right. Lord, There are plenty of us in this church that can easily go on vacation. Our schedules and our finances make that easy. But then there's some of us that our finances and our schedules and just the challenges of life make that so difficult. And it's hard. But Lord, I'm doing what you told me to do, and that's to pray for the people of Seaport that they're able to go on vacation. And I sense your pleasure even in this right now. Because you're a good, good father. And you delight in giving good gifts to your kids. You delight in that. And so, Lord, I'm asking you that you make ways supernaturally, if necessary. And God, help people. Help the people of Seaport. Those who, God, who maybe don't have the means or have unique struggles or, God, issues that make vacations so hard. Open opportunities for them. We trust you for this. We thank you for this. Amen, friends. And if you're in agreement, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And as that happens, you thank God and tell me, right? Hallelujah. There's ways to give. You know how to give. If you don't know how to give, we put this thing up there so you can see. The easiest way to give probably is through the app, or you can give through text, or you can give through the giving boxes out there, whatever works for you. I'm going to go ahead and release the youth to the fellowship hall right now. All youth are heading out there to the fellowship hall so you guys can slip out right now. I don't know, Daniel, if you can grab the Flynn. I didn't tell you to do this, so if you can grab that slide and put it in there, that's great. If you can't, no worries. This Saturday, there you go. Thanks, Daniel. Thank you. Several months ago, we were contacted all out of the blue. General Michael Flynn's organization contacted us and asked us if we would be willing to host, because he is originally from Rhode Island. This is a military-minded church. They got our name through somebody. And they asked if we would be willing to host this. This is not a Seaport event, but we're just going to host it this Saturday. General Flynn will be here. I was on a Zoom call with him this week. He will be here in a live event. They'll show his movie, and he'll be here kind of do a Q&A kind of a thing. And it is not a... it's not a big Christian rally kind of thing. I don't want you to get the wrong idea. Our role is just simply to host. We're just hosting this event. That's what we're doing, okay? Because they wanted a military context. They wanted a facility that could handle this event. And we're going to have to bring in extra chairs and all that good jazz. So you go on the app and you register directly with them. If this is not, this you're registering directly with them through that. I just wanted you to be real clear on that. Okay, we clear on that. So he'll be here. He'll be interacting with folks, showing the movie. It starts, I think, around 4:30, the whole event, and then ends up about 7:45. So that's this Saturday. All right? So if that kind of floats your boat, then come be part of that. All right. So anyway, I want to jump into the Word of God. Are you ready for that?
Yes.
Come on, let's do this. Why doesn't everyone receive answers to prayer? Why is that? And are there ways to increase the probability of receiving answers to prayer? Are there ways? I mean, again, while I was on vacation, I decided that what I would do is that I would just, devotionally, I would just read through every place in the New Testament that talked about prayer, how to pray, why to pray. And I would meditate and just begin to do that and just go right from Matthew all the way into the Revelation. Well, I didn't get very far because I got hung up on several passages as I thought about them and meditated. And this one particular passage, and the Lord told me to put the Acts series on hiatus for today. We'll come back to it next week. But I got hung up on this very well-known passage from the book of James. Listen to this. Are any of you suffering hardships? You should whine and cry and carry on. Oh, it says pray. Oh. Are any of you happy? You should what? Some of you stand there like this during praise and worship. You think I don't see you. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you've committed any sins, you will be forgiven. That sounds good. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer, and you know, Maxwell just quoted this. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Now, Elijah, the prophet, was a human. It was human as we are. And yet he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall. None fell for 3.5 years. And then he prayed again, and the sky sent down rain, and the earth began to yield its crops. The guy prays, and it stops raining for 3.5 years. That's pretty powerful stuff, don't you think? I should have hired him for today. Well, we're going to make the whole rain event work for us, so just stand by. We're going to make it work for us. As I read that passage of Scripture, as I have read it so many times, I began to think about some things. The questions began to come to my mind. And one of the times, if you want to just, here's a little kind of a sidebar. If you really want to add a little, it's just another dimension to your Bible reading. When you read a passage, just begin to ask yourself questions. What kinds of questions should I ask about this? What don't I know? What don't I fully understand? What does this really mean? And suddenly it begins to come alive to you. As I was reading that, I began to ask questions, you know? And we'll look at some of those questions. But let's kind of back up and give some kind of, just a little background about what's going on here. Who was James? James, very simply, was the leader of the church at Jerusalem at this particular time. Okay? And James, he's one of several James in the New Testament that we meet. But you know what? He's trying to convey a message not only to the Christians in Jerusalem, but to the Christians that due to persecution, remember Acts chapter 8, they all bailed out of Jerusalem and went everywhere preaching the gospel, you know, in chapter 7 and 8, and they just bailed out because of persecution, and the church suddenly is just dispersed everywhere because they were getting in the Christian comfort zone of Jerusalem. God just, he scattered them. And so James is writing to not only the Jews that are still left, which aren't many Christians there, and he is writing to the Christians that have been dispersed all over the place. And he's very direct. And if you ever think that I'm kind of a direct, kind of emphatic preacher, you haven't read the book of James clearly, because he is pretty intense, this guy. And so he's very intense in this. And one of the things that, as a pastor, as most pastors are, he's very concerned that the people, his people, know how to pray and how to receive things from a good, good father who wants to bless them. And there are right ways and there are wrong ways to pray, and he makes that very clear in this little letter. And as I read this, I thought, God just drew me back. And we're going to look at why some prayers are answered and maybe why they're not, and how to up the possibility and the probability of getting answers to prayer. And as he's doing this, as he's writing this letter, he pulls out the name of Elijah. His people would have been extremely familiar with this well-known Old Testament prophet found in 1 Kings. They would have been very, very familiar with that guy. Understand something. Both Old and New Testament, prophets were often very solitary figures. Sometimes they were very intense personalities. Sometimes they were highly educated. Sometimes they were not. They would often spend huge amounts of time alone seeking God. Other times, maybe not so much. Their job, depending upon their calling, sometimes would be to speak to kings or groups or nations or various authorities. They would bring words of correction, words of direction, words of encouragement, words of instruction. They'd bring all these different kinds of things, okay? But Elijah was a standout figure. I mean, he was one of the two guys that shows up on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17 with Jesus. He's a standout figure. He's an intense personality. He was a prophet in Israel about the 9th century B.C. under the reign of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. Now, I mean, he is one of the most bold, fervent, and fiery. I mean, even the chariot of fire came and got him, you know, and took him away. But this guy is just an intense personality, and part of it is because of the role that he had in confronting sin. Now, under King Ahab, and I'm just giving you a little bit of sidebar information here, under King Ahab and his wife Jezebel, the country had turned to the worship of Baal, B-A-A-L, Baal, okay? I mean, this tremendously angered God, and to make things even worse, Queen Jezebel was notoriously wicked and was bent on destroying not only Elijah, but all of the prophets of God. She was out to kill them all. And that made God exceptionally angry and brought the country under divine judgment because of that. So Elijah's in the thick of all this, and his job is to confront them. And Ahab didn't like him at all. Didn't like him at all. Now, Elijah prays. You got to read Elijah's story. It's pretty wild. He prays for the rain to stop as a direct confrontation to Baal. Because you see, Baal was supposedly in control of the weather and of fertility. And by the stopping of the rain, it was God's way of saying, yeah, no, that's just an idol. That dude's not real. I'm the living God. You guys are choosing to serve a worthless God. I'm the living God. That's what that was about. That caused a drought, and of course that caused all kinds of difficulties. But the whole culmination of this thing is there on Mount Carmel. And if you go to Mount Carmel today, there's a statue of Elijah there on Mount Carmel today. And the fiery prophet. It's really interesting. But in response, and I'm not going to tell you because I don't have the time, but there in 17 and 18 of 1 Kings, you see this wild confrontation between the 450 prophets of Baal and Elijah. And God moved powerfully. It's dramatic. Go read it for yourself. But then when that thing is all, when that confrontation is done and God proves himself to be God, you know, he prays. Elijah prays. The rains come and the crops begin to flourish. And more importantly than that, Israel, for a time, turns back to God. That was his job, Elijah, a man of tremendous power. I mean, tremendous. And you know, the country rejects the idolatry that they'd been involved in. God brings judgment on Ahab and Jezebel. And the blessing of God is upon his people one more time. I thought about all of that. And then I thought of this one particular passage, this one sentence, that the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. I would say so, wouldn't you? Shuts down the weather, restarts the weather, defeats the wickedness of an entire nation. I'd call that pretty effective, pretty powerful. As I began to look at that, I found myself asking, what did James really mean when he said a righteous person? And he refers to Elijah as a righteous person. Now, he makes it very clear in the next verse that although Elijah was revered, although he was seen as somewhat of a mystical person by many people, James calls him human like us. That's what he calls him, human like us. I mean, he had the same nature, the same struggles, the same emotions. I mean, the guy is up and down some days, you know, in his emotions and his struggles. Being righteous doesn't mean that you're perfect and absolutely got everything together on every day. That's not what righteous means, because obviously Elijah didn't have that. But he had fervency and passion, that's for sure. And he was determined to do the will of God. Being righteous doesn't mean that you're perfect and mature in every way. It doesn't mean that you don't have any struggles or difficulties. It doesn't mean that you don't have some quirks or idiosyncrasies. You know, we all have those. I have those too. Always, it's always funny to me what you guys catch is my idiosyncrasies. It's always kind of fun. You tell me about them. It's kind of funny. But we all have them, don't we? We all have them. We don't think we do, but we do. We'll have them. And I mean, he had all those things, but what he had was fervency and passion and a righteous heart. And James is simply saying that, you know what? If we will be like that, then you and I can secure major, massive impact through prayer. Do you believe this?
Yes.
You should believe it, because it's not my opinion. It's not my ideas. It's not my concept. It's the Word of God.
Amen.
James is saying this to his people. He didn't separate it out and say, okay, well, now I'm just talking to leaders now. He didn't say that. He didn't say, I'm just talking to a group of intercessors. He didn't say that. He didn't say, oh, I'm just talking to the elders. He didn't say that. He put it out there for everybody. I think you're included there. But look at what he says. I mean, I asked this question. We use that, it's a familiar term to us, being righteous. But what does it really mean? What's it really mean? Now let's take a look at the New Testament. It's a big topic. But let's look at the New Testament. What does it mean to be righteous? What does that word mean? I mean, according to the New Testament, number one, it means four basic things. Number one, it means that I am in right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I'm not in relationship with God through myself, through good works, through some religious process, some code of ethics, just because I'm here. No, I am right with God because of the righteousness. Jesus, the perfect man of God, the perfect Savior, took my place on the cross. And because of that, when I put my faith and my confidence in him, his right standing with God becomes my right standing with God. And thus now I am in right relationship with God. Not through your human abilities or my human abilities or my own goodness, because that doesn't cut it. That's where you got to start. And if you're here today and you have never confessed your sin, if you've never asked God to forgive you, if you've not repented of your sin, if you've never invited Christ to come into your life, guess what? You're not right with God. You're not. You can think you are. You can deceive yourself into thinking you're okay, but you're not. Plain and simple. We are made right with God through the righteousness of Christ that is imputed into us, and we are justified by faith in him. Amen?
Amen.
There is no other way. There is no other way to do that. That's what the scripture says. That's not what Pastor Brad says. Romans 3 says this, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. He says to the church in Corinth, you know, for our sake, Jesus became sin who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Do you hear that? That's step one, to get into right relationship with him. Amen? That's where it starts. Number two, right to be righteous means to live according to God's policies, procedures, otherwise known as his word, otherwise known as the Bible. To live in agreement with that, to be right with him. I mean, this is more than just like kind of a legal standing sort of a thing. Instead, it means, you know what, because of my desire, because I've made right with God, something changes in my heart from the inside out. You've heard me say this. I have a desire to honor the Lord, to serve him, to know his word, and to live by that word. Amen? That's when you're right with God, your desires change. And as things begin to change, you know, James said earlier in chapter 4, he said one of the reasons why you guys pray and don't get any answers in chapter 4, he says, is because, you know, you're praying in agreement with your own lusts. Your motives are wrong. Your intentions are wrong. You got to get that straight first of all, and then God will hear and he will answer. Or sometimes you don't receive because you don't even bother to ask. I have Christians all the time who say to me, all through these years I've heard this, well, you know, God's busy. I don't want to bother them. You know, that's just dumb, frankly. That's just gone dumb, you know? When he's waiting there, eager to hear from you. You know that, right? He's eager to hear from you. When the Spirit of God begins to work in your heart and in your life, you're right with him. You know, the other day, yesterday. You know, when you think, let me just share a couple of things with you. When you're not living for God, your life's all out of tilt, you know? But when you get right with God, you're in that place. Guess what? Then you're linked up with him. His life can flow into you. When you're cocked like this, tilted over here, like this, the life of God can't flow into you. But when you're connected like this, the life of God can flow into you. So yesterday I said, man, I got to move this yard. This yard's getting crazy. So I start my lawnmower up. I go to start it up, and I'm like, gas should not be pouring out of where it's pouring out. That's just not how this works. And today, you don't want to lose much gas because it's expensive. So I'm like, what in the world? And I realized, long story short, that the hose from the gas tank of the mower wasn't connected to the carburetor. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know? So guess what? I could have left it unconnected and that thing would have never started, ever. I connected it in a few pulls, it revved to life because the channel was connected. When you get right with God, the channel's connected. His life flows into you, and you've got power to do what you need to do, right? When you're righteous, right? When the Spirit of God is flowing through you, then it becomes evident that God is working in you, and there is the production of his life and his character in you. I want to read this to you out of the message, the fruit of the Spirit. But I want you to hear the words of the message out of Galatians 5, 22 through 23. But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity, love, joy, peace. We develop a willingness to stick with things, faithfulness, a sense of compassion in the heart, kindness, a conviction that a basic human, basic holiness permeates things and people, goodness. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. When you are right with God, his life flows into you and produces this, otherwise known as the fruit of the Spirit. That's how you know you're connected. That's how you know. But there's a third way, you know, why righteousness is important. Because righteousness, according to Scripture, especially when you start reading Romans chapter 6, you know, I mean, it speaks of holiness. It speaks of the death of self and sin. When I am right with God, I die to myself and I die to sin. Let me ask you this question. Since you've become a Christian, has sin lost its grip on you? Are you able to say, nah, I ain't doing that? Has that happened? Have you died to yourself? Do you think more about what does God want me to do instead of what do I want to do? Do you find yourself saying, you know what, that's wrong for me to do that. I'm going to stop doing that. That no longer has the mastery over me. I say no to that. According to Romans 6, you have that power, right? You have that power to say no to all ungodliness. You have that power. Practical righteousness means that as a Christian, now we are concerned with acts of justice. We're concerned about, you know, integrity in our relationships with other people. We're concerned about mercy and kindness, even with people that maybe aren't, you know, deserving of it. We're concerned about others, taking care of them. All of these things are indicators that we are in right relationship with God. And conversely, when you get out of right relationship with God, these things begin to disappear from your life. But there's the last one I want to give to you. It's very interesting that the New Testament talks about righteousness as connected to a passion for the return of Jesus. Isn't that interesting? Interesting. You see, the righteous person longs for the return of Jesus. The unrighteous person doesn't think about the return of Jesus or doesn't want him to return. Or the Christian that's not living according to the will of God, is not living righteously, they don't want Jesus to return and catch them in the act of doing something. But the righteous person longs for the return of Jesus, although they're conflicted. They want Jesus to return. Do you ever live like this, conflicted? I live like this every day of my life. Jesus, return. But I'm still thinking about this person that needs salvation. And this person's got to get their act together. And this person, boy, Lord, I don't know where they stand. Lord, so maybe we'll come when you need to come. Do you live like that? Yeah, I live like, I think about people that need salvation. I say, Lord, and there are lots of days I'm like, just come. I'm ready. Looking for the return of Jesus. We're about to move into communion. And I'm doing something very intentional here, and I want you to track with me on this. Please track with me on this. As we think about these four points, let me ask you four questions. Ask yourself this question. Have I confessed my sin, repented of it, and invited Jesus into the leadership of my life? Are you here today? I'm not asking if you grew up going to church, if you're a spiritual person, a nice person, you know, whatever. I didn't ask you that. Ask yourself this question. Have I become righteous by confessing my sin, repenting of it, and inviting Christ to come into the leadership of my life? Have you done that? I hope everyone can say yes, or will say yes. And if you haven't, in just a few moments, you'll have an opportunity to do that. Okay? Am I living, number two, according to what I know from the Bible about a righteous life? Not again, perfect. But are you living in such a way that you're saying, you know what, I'm living in agreement with the Word of God like I know it? Nobody's looking for you or me to be perfect. But are we dealing with it? Have we taken care of sin issues? Are we doing the things that we need to do? Have we stopped doing the things we need to stop doing? Are we doing that? Is sin dying in my life? Is it losing control? Did you have this happen to you? Still happens with me. After I became a Christian, there were Christians, and they meant well, and I got it. They meant well, although they drove me nuts sometimes. I was 16, and they were saying, oh, yeah, you should stop doing this, and oh, you should start doing that, and why are you doing that? And I'm like, just chill, okay? I didn't say that, but I listened to them, and I didn't allow it to get to me too much. But God began to deal with me, and he said, yeah, about that. You don't need that anymore. Put that away. Oh, and about this. Yeah, we're not going that direction. You don't need that anymore. All right, take care of that too. That's unbecoming. And God began to deal with it. Did the Lord do that to you too? About five of you? The rest of you, what happened to you? But you better get caught up here. All right. Is sin dying in your life? Is it losing its control? Are you dying to yourself? Is your primary concern not, God, how can you please me, but how can I please you? That's the way to life. That's the way to life. Am I looking forward to the return of Jesus? Or I'm like, I got lots of stuff I need to do, Lord, so can you hold back a bit? Can you hold back? I don't want you to come right now because I know I'm doing some stuff that isn't quite right, so don't catch me in the act. Oh, you doing that? We're saying, Lord, I'm ready, come. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. Where you at? Where you at, friends? Why does God respond to the righteous? Let me tell you why. I'm going to give you two reasons. There's more, but let me give you two reasons. Most of you are or have been parents. Many of us are grandparents. And many times you've discovered that your child needs some behavior modification. They all do, don't they? Never have to teach a child to do bad things. They figure that out easily. You have to, as a parent, help them manage their attitudes and their emotions, right? You have to help them perform the responsibilities. And many times what we do as parents, we say, okay, you need to do this. And when you do this and when you learn to do this, then I am going to do this for you. And don't they say, well, do I have to do that? I just want this. Most kids are like that, aren't they? And then we have this real conflicted difficulty. We just want to bless our kid and they harass us. And sometimes we just want to give them the gift without them performing what they needed to follow through on. God is a good, good father. And he's more concerned about you and I growing up and being spiritually mature than blessing us with stuff. And so sometimes when we're not yet righteous in how we manage a particular area, God kind of holds back until we get it together. You following me? Oh, we just want God to bless us and not worry about this. And God's like, that's no big deal to me. This over here is a big deal to me. I need you to deal with that. Why do you do that with your kids? Because you want them to grow up and to be a blessing to themselves, be a blessing to you, be someone that you take pride in and be someone that honors God and his church and is a blessing to society. Don't you do that? Your Father in heaven wants the same thing out of you and I. And sometimes he will not respond until we are righteous and then he blesses us. You following me? And so sometimes that takes the confession of sin and dealing with it so that the blessing can be released. Some of you men heard that at the encounter a couple of weekends ago, didn't you? You surely did. Being righteous is not a way of earning blessing. Don't get me wrong there. I don't misinterpret what I'm saying there. It's just simply God has a path for you. Jesus made it clear in John 10:10, I've come that they might have life to the fullest, or a rich and satisfying life. That's his plan for you. But in order to get there, sometimes we've got to deal with some stuff and lay it aside. Right? So let me bring this down here. Remember this famous verse? Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God above all else and do what? Live what? Then what happens? Yeah, look at what it says there. And he will give you possibly some things that you might need. You see that? When you live righteously, what you're simply saying is, I'm doing what you're saying for me to do, and I'm trusting that you're going to respond and bless me with what I need. And that's different with every one of us. When the priorities are right, God blesses us. From this powerful example of Elijah, who prayed so fiercely and intensely, and God answered, not only shuts it down, but opens it up. That God is trying to bring us to the place where we have that same level of power in our lives to see the miraculous take place in our families, in our lives, in our homes, in our nation. Amen? Do you really believe this? I mean, it's really radical when you stop and think about it. Let me wrap this up. This little cup that I know it's in your hand because I keep hearing some of you mess with it. But take this little cup. Before we do anything, just hold it in your hand. Before we do anything, let's take a moment and let's say, and let's ask the Lord, am I living righteously? I didn't say perfectly. I'm saying righteously. Am I in a right relationship with God? If you're here today and you've never invited Christ to come into your life, do so right now. Ask him to come into your life. Ask him to forgive you of your sin. Invite him to come in and take over the leadership of your life. Do that right now. Do it right now. Okay? Christians that are here, let's take a moment and let's ask God to reveal anything in our lives that needs to be dealt with. Amen? So that we are righteous. Because I'm going to tell you what we're about to do. As soon as we partake of communion, we're going to sing, and the band is going to come back. You can come back now, as a matter of fact. You can come back. We're going to participate in communion. We're going to sing, and then this is what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you to lock into one particular need that you have. I mean, some significant need that you have. Maybe for you, or your family, whatever it is. One thing. Be thinking about what that is. And if you're not sure what it is, do what I do. God, what do you want me to pray about? And we're going to stand together and we're going to pray as righteous people. And we're going to see amazing and powerful and effective things take place. Because we are operating in righteousness. Are you with me? Do you have a need? If you don't, come see me. I'll give you one of mine. I have many. I'm not kidding. Take a look at this before we do anything. Lord, just reveal our hearts. If there's something in us that's got to be dealt with. Lord, if we went to the encounter and then slipped back a little bit, we need you to help us. God, if we've looked at that sin and been okay with it, but we're saying today, it's not really. God, just reveal. If we can't think of anything, then God, we need to say thank you for that or reveal something to us, whatever it might be. Lord, before we partake of communion, just may our hearts be open. Lord, we want to clear the air. God, forgive us. Cleanse us. We want to be righteous before you. We want nothing between us. Are you guys in agreement with this? We just trust you for this right now. Take the little plastic cup and open the bottom where the bread is. You know, just peel it back. You don't have to take it off. And I want you, before you do anything more, just look at that and just simply say, thank you, Jesus, for what you did for me. Thank you, Jesus. I became righteous. Because your righteousness became mine. In appreciation, take and eat. Flip it over, peel it back carefully. It's part way. You sang it earlier, and intentionally so, about the power of the blood of Jesus. See that picture in the email of Gary and I at the 08 blessing of the bikes? We just found that newspaper page on Wednesday or Thursday. They showed that to me. The staff showed it to me. I was like, wow. I forgot all about that. But it was the blood of Jesus that rescued Gary Cosart and then brought his wife, Kathy, into salvation. And look at what God has done in their lives. There's more on that page. I'll tell you more about it. I looked at that page and said, this is a statement of the grace and the power of God. There's two other stories on that page. I haven't told you about them. I looked at that and I said, Lord, the blood of Jesus saves and heals. And in appreciation, take and drink. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Stand with me. Hallelujah. The ushers are going to collect the cups. Well, stand with me and let's sing this song. And after we sing this song, I want you to lift your voice with me. Lock onto whatever request that's in your heart. Hallelujah. If you have done what I've discussed with you and you've cleared the air with God, you are righteous. Do you believe that? Not perfect, but righteous. And in faith, you can pray effectually, fervently, and much will be produced. Are you ready to do that? Let's sing this and then we're going to pray. I do not want you to listen to me pray. I want you to pray. I'm going to pray. But you need to lift your voice up. And I need you to lock on, not to 15 things, lock on to one thing. That thing that right now is on top of your heart, on top of your mind. Maybe it seems impossible. And maybe it is. All things are possible to him that believes. Are you ready to pray? Do you believe you're righteous? You're righteous because the righteousness of Christ was imputed, put into you by faith. And you're righteous because you have dealt with sin and stuff between you and the Lord. You are right with him. And you can come with confidence and pray. Let's do it. Father, we have fulfilled your word. It's your word. It's not man's opinion. It's not my ideas. It's your word. You told me to preach this message. And because you did that, and I've done my best to do it, you stand ready to respond to the cries of your people's hearts. You're already positioned. You're already ready. You're just waiting for us to trust you. You've just been waiting for us to be righteous with you. And so, God, we've done what we believe, and I've done what I believe we're supposed to do. And so we ask you, mighty God, Holy Father, come. And God, we're expressing our desires. Come on, lift up those voices. Come on, lift up. I don't care what the need is. Come on, lift it up. And we are trusting you, God, for an answer. We're trusting you for the miraculous. We're trusting you for the improbable, the impossible. God, my God, we're trying to do our part. God, do your part. God, we don't want anything in us that would hinder the work of your Holy Spirit. And even if there's something there now, Lord, that's coming to our hearts and our minds, we choose to deal with it and put it away and go forward. And God, we take this moment and we just simply say, Lord, I believe you've heard us because we've operated. We have operated inside your will and by the direction of your Holy Spirit. And I believe you will answer for the glory of your great name. And God, I'm expecting those answers to begin today, this week. Not a zillion years from now. Quickly. Thank you, Lord. Amen, friends. The ministry team is going to come across the front. This is what they're going to do. They're going to pray for you about any need that you have. They'll pray for you. Just tell them what it is. They'll pray for you. But if you're here and you committed your life to Christ during the service, just come up to them and tell them, I committed my life to Jesus, and let them just talk to you for a minute. Pray with you. Father God, thank you for this time that we've had together. Dismiss us now in your great grace, we pray. Amen. If you need prayer, come and receive it. How you need to tell somebody you gave your life to Jesus, do that. You need to go ahead. Remember to pick up your kids. That's always good too.